on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live here at Pulse 2 Studios. In the studio, we do have Ross Peltier, we do have Elliot Minchella, but we don't have Aaron Bauer with us this evening. Now, he was down in Manchester, been caught in that traffic, and we don't think he's going to get back in time, but we're thinking of him. The reason why we're thinking of him is because he's coming last in our league table standing.
Can you get it pumped?
That's it. Many stop choosing with his heart. He's gone with his head. Actually, no, I reckon you're still doing a little bit with your heart, but just your teams that you used to play for, they're playing well. They were rubbish at the beginning of this year. But a big show coming up, as always. Well, in the second segment, we'll have amateur all-stars, plus the boys are going to give their 30-second spill on anything around the world of rugby league, so they're just going to wax lyrical and spit it out. In the third segment, it's all down to you guys, the fans, so you get to discuss whatever topic points you want, so get in touch with us. We're on our social media, so if you're available, you want to join the conversation, please join in. And also, in the final segment, we'll be mopping up and looking ahead to the upcoming games. It is a big weekend this weekend with the fifth round of the Challenge Cup and a big round in the Super League also. So massive. Someone's just saying that I'm looking a bit short. Someone on social media just saying, stand up, Robbie. I've actually pushed my seat down.
No.
I've got a long body. Stuart Fielding used to call me like a sausage dog, long body and little legs. That was his favourite thing, called me sausage dog. He had other colourful names for me as well. But anyway, let's catch up with the boys before we get into all of that sort of stuff. How's it going? Ross, big week for you. You're coming back, son. You're coming back.
Yeah, back up for selection. If selected, I'll be back at weekend. So yeah, it's been a long road, but now it's over. I'm back.
He's talking all confident now, but he walked into the canteen a little bit earlier, wide, and that's tough for a Jamaican superstar to do. Wide through, I said, "Mate, you nervous? Are you?" I'm feeling the pressure. You know what it is, Minnie. When you sit on a sort of a public platform like this, and you're just talking yourself up and what you're going to do when you come back and how it's going to be, and you paint all these pictures, and then the reality starts to sort of sink home that you've now got to go and perform.
Nah, it's no pressure. I mean, it's what I do. All lads will take it mixed. I've got some white and gold boots ready for the return.
He's got a
Jamaican flag on side of him as well.
Yeah. Seriously?
Representing.
Yeah, mate. They're good.
That's kind of cool.
Very nice.
So you got those from?
Really nice.
I'm ready for return, you know what I mean?
Come on, where have you got those from?
So, internet, you know what I mean? So, I'm ready for it. I've been flogged enough. I'm sick of being in pre-season now. So, yeah.
So rugby supporters that don't know, or if you're not a rugby supporter, you're just a sports supporter, basically if you get injured, it's the worst time as a professional rugby player, because no one feels sorry for you. You're not part of the team anymore. No one puts their arm around you, and all you do is get flogged by the trainer.
Yeah.
You've got to turn up first.
Yeah.
Then you've got to sit through and watch everyone else train, and then you get a little bit of the F troop afterwards as well.
Yeah, it's no fun, but you know, about perfect time really, Easter period. So we've got what, four games in 10 days. We've got, I think it is coming up. So you know, perfect time to get me back. So yeah,
does Championship play two games over that weekend?
Friday,
as well?
Monday. We play Friday, Monday. We got Halifax and Barrow. So Halifax on Friday, Barrow on Monday. Yeah,
man, that's tough. That's
so we play Sunday, Friday, Monday, Sunday.
Yeah, four games in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So talking about games, Elliot, another win on the weekend. It's getting boring now.
Yeah, we're on some form, aren't
we? You know what I mean? First it was sort of like, oh, the Bulls have lost again. Oh, the Bulls have lost again. Oh, they nearly won. Oh, they won.
Yeah.
Guys, try scoring back now.
got back over the line. He should have done it against Keighley as well.
Yeah, nah. Let's not talk about that.
What about when you're just talking to yourself over the try line? Because I was saying, oh, Elliot Minchella. I was doing the commentary for Elliot Minchella. He'll be kicking himself there. Try scoring machine, 29 last year.
I didn't sleep that night. But no, it got over for one on Sunday. So
little meat pie, eh?
Yeah, out in the centre, actually. How about
so
that?
Let's talk that through. So you played every position under the sun.
Pretty much.
So they're finally given up on you and put you in the laziest position in rugby league, which is the centres.
Absolutely rubbing my hands. And well, no, I want, because Reece Evans, the reason why I went there, Reece Evans got injured and it's quite a bad one. So obviously we hope Reece is all right for his sake, but it meant a bit of a reshuffle. I saw Sam Allis warming up when Reece went down, and I thought, no way is he putting Sam in the centre ahead of me. When Sam came on, I went, Minnie, go in the centre. I was like, yes.
You get some good game time, because obviously when you're running around and doing your little shuttle runs in the middle of the park, you've got to get rested. But in the centre, there's no rest for the centre. There's no rest for the wicket.
You were just good. It got nice early ball in space. I did about 10 tackles in 80 minutes. I thought, this is easy.
Everybody normally does 10 tackles in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I thought, this is right on my street, that. I enjoyed it.
I know how that feels, because I was a halfback defending in and around out there.
Yeah,
and then Brian Noble decided to demote me, put me in the front row.
Oh.
And the difference is just incomparable.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I've played half a bit this year, and then when I go from half back to the middle, it's hard.
It's hard.
Yeah, because you get used to making 15 tackles a game to then 30 tackles a game.
But you conserve your energy differently.
Yeah, it's completely different.
Completely different. I used to do, so when I used to play at Huddersfield, so Brad Drew would start at hooker, I'd start at halfback, and then when Brad would need a rest, I'd have to go from halfback to hooker. And it's like, you're kind of starting to tire anyway around the 20-minute mark.
Anyway, we had a good day on Sunday against Dewsbury. Good team performance, I think, and another win.
Big game this weekend against Featherstone.
Yeah, always big against Featherstone.
Challenge Cup, fifth round.
Yeah, we beat them already this first round on it. We beat them in terrible conditions.
Yeah.
So, hopefully we can repeat it. I think there'll be a few troops down because they've not got Joel Reg this time, but they've got a new front row from Oz, I think she's just saying.
Yeah,
they've got some new additions, so it'd be a...
They've been a bit choppy, haven't they? Because they brought over a couple of the PNG boys.
Yeah.
One of the brothers been sent home. A couple of players been sent home, actually, and then broken away, and just sort of... Well, they've always been a consistent team at Featherstone. They've always been one of the consistent top four performing teams in the championship. I think the new structures upset their way of building. Do you not think so?
Yeah, it could have done, because before, they aim for that top four, and then, when you get the Super League games in, that's how you get some money in, and I don't know, it might have gone all over the shop. But
I'm not sure. I think they're looking all right. I think we're all, there's us, Lee and Featherstone, all on the same points in the league.
So
I think we're, it's going to be quite even, and last time in awful conditions, only a point split at 17-16 we won, so it's going to be a good game. Yeah, two even teams, I think.
Do you guys prefer the sort of slower track, like you got them at the beginning of the year, or on a faster track?
I think it suits us to play on a drier pitch. I think, it's a little bit dry this week, hopefully if there's no more rain, so that'll suit us, I feel.
Yeah, me personally, I feel like the more the season goes on, the more I find a bit of form. I think the early on in the year when it's a bit sloppy and it's more of a middles, get big, for the bigger lads. But when it dries up, you start moving the ball a bit and you can express yourself a bit more.
Pouts, you're one of the bigger boys, but I even think that you prefer the...
That's not Pouts' game.
Don't put me out there when it's sloppy and slow. Nah, that's not me.
Because you like to... You actually move across the ground pretty quickly, don't you? You're dynamic in what it is that you do.
Do you not think
that when the ground gets boggier, it slows you down? You're not as explosive.
It slows. Takes my advantages away a bit sometimes. But it's dry now. It's not as cold. I'm ready back.
So I was going to ask that. I quickly mentioned it to you off air, Pouts, and that was this difference between, and this is for both of you guys. you know, you get two bites of the Wembley cherry this year. Because you can progress, and it does awesome for the club the further you go. But, you know, it's so tough to think that you if you go up against the St. Helens, the Warringtons, with their full-time mandates and the amount of resources that they can throw at the teams, whether or not you guys are going to be able to compete and be able to go all the way. Although, you know, happens has happened before in the past, and you never say never. But as to be expected, when that doesn't happen, you get the opportunity to have the shot at the 1895 Cup. Does that not? How are you guys looking at that? Like this, it's all about the Challenge Cup, or yes, we do have two shots.
No, I think what John said to us, you know, he's realistic. He said he'd like a nice cup run, you know, get a good team, whether it be at Odsell or, you know, just have a nice little cup run in the Challenge Cup. But he has put a marker down at start season, said he wants to get to Wembley in this 1875 Cup because, you know, it's like four games away from Wembley, and four games against, you know, teams who are around us who we can beat, you know, so it'd be a massive occasion for me and for everybody. If we got to Wembley, it'd be, you know, once in a lifetime kind of thing. That.
Yeah, I think, I probably echo what Ross says. Short term, we're just looking at Sunday. This 1895 Cup hasn't even started yet, so to look at that at the minute, I think that's not right. You've got to take it every game as it comes, and we beat Featherstone, we're in the hat for the last 16. And you'd get a chance of playing one of the big boys like we had Warrington last year. That'd be good if we got someone like that again. But yeah, like there's no getting away.
Chris Hill.
Yeah.
Never really heard about it for the next 5 weeks.
The other cup, obviously you're four games away from Wembley, so to not look at that and think, get excited, yeah. I don't know how you can't. Yeah,
Wembley's awesome.
Yeah,
it is awesome.
And to have a manager like John Keir who's got history at Wembley, you know, for him, he wants to go again.
He's going anyway. He's part of the BBC delivery team. Be weird to see him running out after doing his commentary straight down to do coaching. See what time he's got to leave
in his tracksuit.
Well, they're not on camera, are they? But it is Wembley. Anyway, it's an exciting couple of months ahead coming up for you guys, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, we're going to go to a break. After the break, when we come back, we'll hear from Amateur All-Star Team of the Weekend. These guys are going to be waxing lyrical about something from the sport of rugby league, but let's have a look at the roads before we do that.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Ross Peltier and Elliot Minchella. We're straight into the Amateur All-Star Team of the Week, and this week it is Clayton Rugby League Club. That's Pelt's former club. Who else did you say it was?
Me and Steve Crossley's old club.
You and Crossley, there you go. Yeah. So they've been running a community kindness project with Beesman. It was Clayton Rugby League Club that won it. That's right. And Anna from the club spoke to Pulse 2's Chris Johnson earlier this week.
The RHP Show Team of the Week.
Well, first of all, Anna, congratulations on winning the Beesman Community Kindness promotion. You must be absolutely thrilled.
Oh, it's just such an amazing, amazing thing to happen to us. It really is.
How long ago did you nominate the Clayton Rugby League Club?
Well, we actually did it just before the closing day. So we didn't really expect to hear anything, and then to find out we'd actually won we were all stunned. It was amazing, yeah.
Great. Well, your way with words, Anna, certainly works, so congratulations. What does it mean to you and Clayton Rugby Club? What does it mean?
Oh, it means absolutely everything. We're a non-profit organisation, and the rugby team itself actually has charity status. So as you can imagine, all the money that actually comes in goes straight back out onto other things. So big jobs like the boiler keep getting pushed to the bottom of the pile because the money's not there to do it. So for somebody to come in and so generously give their time and the equipment is just something we never thought would ever happen.
And down to the nitty-gritty, Anna, what does need doing? Have you got a list of stuff that needs sorting out?
Just general little things around the club, sort of more reinforced doors. The benches outside could do with replacing because they are sort of starting to wear a bit. Carpet, tables and chairs inside, things like that. Even just a lick of paint and tidier.
So it's a major TLC, Anna. Well, there's a list of stuff that need doing. If anybody can help, there'll be full details online at pulse2.co.uk.
The RHP Show, Team of the Week.
And there you have it, Clayton Rugby League Club. What are your fondest memories of growing up playing for Clayton? Yeah. Steve's a lot older than you, isn't he?
He's only 2 years older than me. Yes, we were there at all the same time.
He doesn't look it.
He looks about 10 years older than me, to be honest. Yeah, all through scholarship at Bradford, yeah, me and Steve. But I got this.
Were you both the outstanding youngsters in the club?
Yeah, I'd say like from my age group, and yeah, we were the ones who were like from the club who would like look like we'd go and do something. But there were a lot of talent at the club, really. There's a lot of talent who went from before, you know, Paul White, and who used to play there and everything. So there's been some players.
Whitey's doing some. I've got Whitey as a friend on Facebook.
He's ripped up now,
and he's done a 12-week program.
Yeah, he's absolutely ripped.
He's done it with another rugby player.
Yeah, I can't remember
who it is. Someone's program, yeah. And he is absolutely
massive,
ripped.
Yeah, he's looking good.
Still can't break a paper bag.
Nah, he's looking good now. He's retired, but yeah. Great memories
rapid,
down there.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, great memories down Clayton. You know, it's just a good club. I think fondest memory probably scored a full length against Whipsy off kickoff.
Oh, no way!
I always remember that one. You know.
So as a front row, you're at the back of the field. You get the ball early, so you catch the ball, go straight through the pack.
Yeah.
Or do you, it was one of those ones where you run around.
I was about this tall at 12, so you know it wasn't fair to other kids, really. So it wasn't that hard.
Yeah. Well, you're so honest.
Yeah, I'm massive compared to everyone else. But I was just taller than everyone, so like, I just fend everyone off. Yeah.
Everyone else come up to his nipples.
Yeah, that's I've got a picture that is everyone.
Any
like,
fond memories, Elliot, of playing against Clayton?
We did play against them. Yeah, only when we were young, really young. I think I've played there. My old team, West Bowling. We actually ran out of there for a while. I think there's something going on with West Bowling, and yeah,
we actually haven't had West Bowling on as an amateur team of the week,
why.
Have we?
No, but so yeah, no, I played there a few Dudley times. Hill. Yeah, I'll get West Bowling on. Promote them.
West Bowling are probably one of most active clubs for youngsters now. Yeah. They've got every age group, really.
Remember when I first came over, my first year. You talk about being the kid that's the biggest, and sort of like Leon Price was that for. I think he was playing for West Bowling then, and he had like Stuart Redden and his cousin Wayne were in the team. They just destroyed the other team that they were playing against. But Leon would like run through everyone, stand inside the in goal, wait for his teammates to catch up, and then he'd pass them the ball.
My brother used to play football, and Carl used to play football with my brother, and he was just like that. He used to just cross balling, and he'd just beat everyone to headers. So I just remember Carl just literally beating everybody in air for
it
headers.
It was massive.
Just heading every goal in.
All right, we're into our 30 seconds of madness. My pals, I think you've got us to kick off. So 3, 2, 1, let's go.
No, it's just, really, I think every club should take a leaf out of what Warrington are doing really right now, because I think they're really doing stuff to engage fans of all different cultures as well, like when they printed posters for the games in Polish and put them in Polish shops and in different languages, you know, to try to get everyone down to the games, to bring in fun like that, the race against that guy in green and stuff.
Wire Flyer,
yeah. Game of Thrones is coming out, and they've done a promo video to Game of Thrones with a mascot on a horse and everything today. I've seen that, so you know they're doing everything to stay on trend, and it's good to see, really.
Now,
I think
the
a lot of clubs
club that embraced match day entertainment was your
Bradford
guys club,
yeah.
Was the Bradford Bulls, and it was the Bulls experience, match day experience that they used to kick off with. You know what? You know what's good about this? You know, because Warrington, they even from when they play them in their night games, they have a light show, don't they?
Kick off as part of the
pre-match entertainment.
Good.
You think about it. So I've got a degree in sports marketing. So understanding the sports consumer, the age target age group is 7 and 10 years of age. That's when you decide who you're going to support for the rest of your life. Now, when you're 7, 10 years of age, do you remember the outcome of games?
No, not really.
You don't. But you do remember the emotion, the effect that it had on you, don't you?
I remember going to Bradford games as a kid. They were so good.
Same with yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what you remember.
Yeah.
The experience that you had, the music, the loudness, the excitement. And I think too many clubs, and this is, I think, the point that you're trying to make, too many clubs focus on what's going on, the outcomes of games on the field, which is not a very solid foundation to build it on, because ultimately there can be only one winner at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think sometimes clubs are a bit, not boring, but, you know, just it's like everyone's the same. Like, it's a bit just, across the board.
Have some cheerleaders.
Yeah,
have some
it's
music.
The same, yeah.
Get a tribute act on the
crowd. What I like, Purvis, what he's doing at Fev, I like his videos and what he's doing, the cause controversy and everyone up in the air, but I like him.
He's
like, promoting the game. That Terminator one and the fax machines one.
Yeah. So, just to let you know that Robbie Purvis, he works for my company, or their creativity comes out of our household. But I don't want to just a little mad plug there, extra mile marketing. So thank you very much, Pelch. Absolutely brilliant. That is a talking point that I'm sure we're going to bring up, because Warrington at this point in time are setting the benchmark. But over to Elliot. 3, 2, 1, 30 seconds.
So I'm going from a positive on Rosses to a negative. Player welfare. I just don't agree with the Easter period. We've got 4 games in 2 weeks. We play this Sunday, then Friday, Monday, and then the following Sunday. I think for especially the part-time players in the Championship, I've been there myself last few years, and it's very hard on the body. I'd say the quality of rugby drops as well, so the product isn't as good. I just think it's a bit unreasonable to ask part-time players to play 4 games in 2 weeks.
So, that's a really interesting talking point there, because I played full-time and part-time. I remember coming out of the full-time into what was a very competitive championship competition, but I argue to say it wasn't as competitive as your guys, what you guys are actually going through at the moment. And for the most part, I was still a full-time professional at that point, so I made enough money to be able to go through university. But the majority of my teammates were working all day long. So they're working all day long. They play, they were working Monday to Thursday. Then you had the bank holiday Friday. 2 days rest at a really high professional level. 2 days rest, and then got to back up again on the Monday.
It's not that. It's the Sunday after as well. Yeah. After the Monday, that's when I think that's the one that really gets you.
Because there's not enough time to recover from those 2 days, and you're recovering from effectively
two
lots of trauma.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough as a full time player. I've done it, as a full timer, and even as a part timer, you work as an average person during the week, and then you're a rugby player on top of that. It's not just you're you've got a part-time job and a part-time rugby life. It's full-time.
So
everything,
we
really
know that there's a lowering in quality in the games, because we've seen it, and the statistics show us that the quality of games is not that great after the Easter period. But if you got to compound that by your quality or productivity that you're doing in your daily work life.
I think as well, you've got players that got families as well. Easter's a family time, and you got bank holiday and stuff, and you don't get time to spend it with your families. So like, my missus is already filming that, all over bank holiday.
Before it used to be you didn't get to go out on the Sunday night.
Now
it's all about family. Thank you very much, boys. Absolutely brilliant. Up next, after the break, we're going to be hearing from you guys. It's your questions. So if you're on social media, just throw your questions in. We've got some questions already lined up. And stay with us on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2. Live on 1278 and 1530 AM. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show, live in the studio with Ross Peltier and Elliot Minchella. And this segment of the show is over to you guys. So if you're listening at home, you want to get in touch, or if you are on social media, want to get in touch, just drop us a question and or a statement or a comment, and providing it's family sensitive, we'll share it. I'm waiting to get one of those things like Dave Woods and that got. There were actually, I did your guys' game against Keithley, there were quite a few of them coming through. Because they all get sort of pre-warned, all the commentators say, okay, if you get a couple by, then everyone tries to, all the idiots come out. So anyway, nobody gets to try, eh? Because if it's put in front of me, I will read it. Okay, the first question comes from Adam Hayes. Now, what's the biggest step up in quality, League One to Championship or Championship to Super League? It's a great question. I don't know. I never played in League One, I'm handing this over to you guys.
I'd say the week in, week out, the difference between week in, week out competitiveness I'd say the bigger leaps from League One to Championship, you know, because Championship, you know, you're always playing. There's not really any teams in Championship now. You're gonna go and you're gonna roll over like 60-10 or, you know, put big scores on
124-0.
Yeah, so you're not gonna get that in Championship. You know, every week it's gonna be tough. You're gonna be playing
against West Wales.
You're gonna be playing.
Did they score any points against you?
Nah.
Yeah, they scored one in Cup Challenge Cup. Scored one against us. I let it in.
Did you really?
Yeah, John, give me. I think you know, because in Championship you can play Toulouse, Toronto, Wakefield. I'm not Wakefield. Featherstone, Halifax. You know, you can go on a run like Widnes. That, and it's all Widnes. It's all tough. You know, a lot of Super League quality players. So, I think the bigger gap's League One to Championship.
So you had like Workington and
we Workington in York really. That were the only tough games we had, you know. But besides that, it was pretty much.
But that was a psychological challenge for you guys, wasn't it? Because you guys, you had a handful of full time professionals. The other ones were semi professional, but you know, of the highest order.
It was
high quality semi professional. Yeah. So you spent a lot of time where a lot of the other teams are, you know, just coming together. Mm. Quite a number of you players played Super League as well.
Yeah.
You know, got good experienced players. So psychologically, you had to get up for it, though, as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with Pelts on that question. I think the week in, week out difference is massive. We looked at, if you look at League One from last season, there was a clear gap from, there were a bunch of four, five sides who would compete, and the rest probably wouldn't compete. You know, you could see a clear split in results every week. But in the Championship, like Ross says, every single game is tough. I think the difference probably from Championship to Super League is the fitness and the you know, the strength in players and
I'll be honest, and I retired in 2011, so this is 8 years ago. I didn't find the strength the big difference between Super League and Championship. The strength of the men, of the players, because there's so many Super League players down there. Not only that, there are, you know, there's a lot of weights that have been thrown around. Mm. What I found the difference was the speed of the game and probably the quality of the skill. Just those two things. But actually, it hurt as much. It was as physical, if not more physical.
I'd say as a front rower, contact-wise, I think... it's a lot easier running against Super League teams because the contact's much cleaner and no one's really looking to hurt you. Whereas sometimes in the Championship, you know, you get people, especially from me, like, you know, some people just want to take your head off and like hammer you. Whereas when you play Super League teams,
one of your mates like Leon Price said, everybody's job is to go and put this guy off.
Yeah, whereas I think when we play Super League teams, the tackles are, you know, they're effective, like they just go to effectively make a tackle and the speed's a lot quicker.
It's grubbier. The lower down you go, the grubbier it gets.
And the refereeing's not of that same quality. So. Yeah. I found also that in stuff that you'd work on as a more of a superior team, you weren't able to do because, you know, they were lying all over you. You couldn't get quick play the balls in. Hands were going in and referees would call it a knock on.
Yeah, you get Mini getting punched every week.
Yeah, I got whacked every week.
Mini headbutting or face butting everyone's fists.
Just getting whacked every single week. I think it's actually harder to run shapes against the lower teams.
So they're so unorthodox.
Yeah, it's actually harder to run a shape. I found when we played like Widnes this season, when you run a shape, the defenders make a decision. Yeah. So you could make a decision with the ball. So it was easy for me. It was easy to play against them because they'd sink in on a lead or they'd go out the back. Whereas if you play another team, say last year,
and the
people just stand still, and it's actually harder to break them down because they don't move. They just stand there and wait.
Especially if the only people that you train against are the same level as you.
Yeah,
because you spend all week training against and sharpening your own defense.
Defending a system, and you play against a team who defends in a system, then you know how to play against them, or it's easier. You play against a team who just hope for the best sort of thing or don't move. It's actually harder.
Yeah.
With a shape player, to break them down with a shape, that's not to say running hard or playing quick, that probably breaks them down like that, doesn't it? But
that's not what you've prepared for.
Yeah, when you play...
There was a game when you guys went away to West Wales.
Yeah.
That actually you guys were really, really patient.
Mm-hmm.
You were really patient in that game, and I just thought you could see as wanting to get amongst it, but you just didn't. All right, well, we're going to move on. We've just got a question coming on social media. This is from an Aussie Scottish at Aussie Scottish. If Toulouse plays Super League, will two French teams be detrimental to the Super League in rugby league? Wow. Will two French teams be detrimental and not a positive thing?
I don't think so, really. I don't think they'd be detrimental, really, because, you know, the French game over in France, you know, Catalan, they do get a lot of fans, you know. Toulouse, when, if they were Super League, they get a lot of fans, you know. It's not really that far on a plane, and it, you know, there
and
is
Toulouse
the
is cool.
Yeah, there is the argument away games, you know, you're not going to get no away support and stuff, but I don't think it'd be too detrimental to the game, really. I think maybe if you then you had two French teams,
you kind of got to do what you were just talking about Warrington doing. Mm. They're going into their own communities. They're building a fan base. Look, if you look at American sports, they don't have away supporters. They outsell in their own communities.
Well, yeah, I think Warrington did a good job. I think were it against London, they got like 11,000-12,000 against London, and not many teams are doing that, and they're shown, you know.
And that's the whole point of it.
Don't rely on away support.
Build your own base.
Yeah, yeah.
And like Warrington's not the biggest town in the world.
No, I agree. I can't see. You look at these two French teams, possibly Toronto as well, coming that. I think it's good, mate. For the game. I like expansion teams and that idea. I think it's good. I don't agree with rugby's on the M62 corridor, I think, to expand the game.
I think it helps the international game, really.
Yeah, it does. I think it expands the game, and I think it actually makes the game have a bigger a voice as well.
Yeah.
Because Toulouse, big city brand.
Yep.
Catalans, a big regional brand that everyone, you know, associates with Barcelona and big sports. Yeah. What we don't have is big city brands in rugby league in this country.
No, I don't.
Leeds. Bradford is a big city, so Bradford, but where they're not in the Super League.
Yeah.
There's no Manchester brand.
No.
Super League team, that is. There is Manchester Rugby League.
Salford
team. Anything. So, they're Salford. You try and call someone from Salford, Manchester.
They play next at Trafford Centre, so it's pretty much Manchester.
So, Toronto, Ottawa, New York, you bring these big city brands into it. It's all fun and games. All right, just this question. This one for me, but I'm going to ask you guys as well. If you could go back in time, what would the one thing you'd want to achieve that you never did? What is the one thing that you two have yet to achieve but would like to?
I'd like to win a major trophy, i.e. like a Super League or a Challenge Cup. I'd like to achieve that, you know, so you never know.
That's a dream.
Yeah.
Tough question. Probably win a major trophy or be play Super League on the regular.
Mm.
That's a goal.
Could see Mini winning a Man of Steel at some point.
Probably just play Super League regularly. That's one for me. Yeah.
That's those dreams are not unattainable.
Mm.
Mine was, I guess it was. I didn't get the chance to. I won all the domestic competitions in this country, and I, you know, blessed to do that with fantastic players around me. But I would like to have had a shot at the NRL in retrospect. And another thing, you know, as I get further and further away from the game, I always the curiosity of whether or not I could have been a good coach. I'm never going to be a coach. I know that. I get that. But the curiosity is whether or not I could have translated what I like to talk about, what I'm an expert in talking about, and what I thought I did all right on the field translated into being able to inspire, shape and mold other people to do so. Maybe you can do it in a different form, but that is something that's always been something I've probably, my bucket list, I won't be able to tick off. All right, thank you very much for all the questions that you sent through. We've got a few other things that have come through on social media. Might be able to get to share them in the final segment of the show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live here at Pulse 2 Studios. In the studio is Elia Minchella and Ross Peltier, our boys from the Bradford Bulls. And we're into the final segment of the show. We just had Harry Jeffrey 9 post into us. Away support isn't bad going to France. He's going to Toulouse to watch the Bulls this year, and he's also going to Toronto. So can you fit me in your bag, can you, Harry Jeffrey? Good luck with that. Safe journeys. But the point that I think Elliot was making, that it's not so much the going to those places because, you know, highly engaged rugby league fans that most clubs do have. Mm. It's the receiving.
Yeah, it's quite appealing, isn't it, for a Warrington fan to go to Catalan or Bradford fan to go to Toulouse, but it's the other way around. Would a Toulouse fan travel to Featherstone in February Yeah. Or would a Catalan fan go to Salford in March?
You can just hear the conversation at the travel agents.
Yeah.
Yeah. the glorious world.
Yeah, I understand that the English fans travel to France, but
post office route.
But yeah, that's my point.
Yeah.
How do you sell that?
Yeah, would a Toulouse fan go to Dewsbury in February?
How do you sell it?
It's not in Dewsbury.
You go, Fox's, oh, that's Batley, Fox's Biscuits.
What is it?
That's Batley.
John Smith, is it? I don't know what Dewsbury's called.
Batley, John Smith. Batley's Fox's, isn't it? Well, either way, it's not as appealing as a South of France.
It's a tough sell. You know, and that is a beautiful part of the world as well. Not saying anything against Dewsbury, of course, or Featherstone or Batley or any of those sort of places, but hopefully you understand what we're talking about. And I think what we are talking about is the engagement of the supporter, which is the important part of it. You know, if you've got a highly engaged supporter, it doesn't matter where their rugby team's going. Yeah. But I think Toulouse are still building an audience.
Yeah.
So they haven't had that. I mean, there's a long-standing rugby league community in the south of France, but not a long-standing rugby league community that's used to one of their teams playing in this British competition. Catalans had to build it up from the ground up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they, traditionally, historically, they have strong rugby league support bases in the cities and towns across the south of France, but not playing in a foreign domestic competition.
Yeah, a lot in the national
non-domestic,
league,
national competition. And I think therein lies the challenge for those French teams to have their French supporters travelling, because if you're a supporter, it doesn't matter where your team's playing, you'll go. Mm. So anyway, on to our leaderboard, because we're going to look at the upcoming games this weekend, but we have got a leaderboard that we've been running. I've finally pulled Pouts back. Both me and Pouts are on 29 points each over the course of the season. Elliot has come from behind because he was a long, 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 long way off at 26 points. And then we've got our resident expert, Aaron Bauer.
I told my mate yesterday, Matty Wild, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
It's not how you start.
You can see clearly my finish.
He's calling it already, Pouts.
Me and Matty Wild had a good chat about that. But the leaderboard doesn't lie, Robbie. I'm now third.
He's celebrating third.
Catching up.
That's the second place to the guy who comes second place. He's celebrating the second place of the guy who comes second place. That's not how you play Super League.
It's only April.
That's not a Super League mentality.
It's only April. Round eight,
anything can happen.
Yeah, exactly.
What about Pouts? He started off like a house on fire.
He's twitching now, isn't he?
Filming, I need that.
Yeah, who've we got? Who are the games?
Okay, so the upcoming games this weekend that we're putting under the spotlight to kick it off on Thursday night, we're looking at Huddersfield at home to Castleford. Huddersfield found their form once again. They've horrific start to the beginning of the season. Cass are kind of hit and miss, aren't they?
Yeah.
They struggled the last couple of weeks. They struggled against St. Helens, got pumped. St. Helens, then they had that close loss to Leeds. With their one-point punch from Dwyer in overtime, the drop kick. But last week they pulled out a great win, come back from behind, win against Wigan. I was covering that for the my Super League Man of Steel selections. Who did I choose? Gildart. Gildart was my lead. Liam
Watts.
He came in third. Milnes was my second place. I thought they played well, but I just thought, like, Gildart scored two tries. He set up. He had a strong hand in setting up two. But the last 30 minutes was all about Cass, wasn't it? Yeah. So anyway, Huddersfield versus Cass. Where you guys?
Castleford.
I'm going Huddersfield. I think they've found the groove.
Heart. He's choosing with his heart.
Yeah.
That's a hard selection if I've ever heard one.
Nah, they're in the groove.
Let's be honest, you've got a fondness for Huddersfield.
Yeah, I have. And they were unlucky against Wakefield, I think. You know, Danny Brough kicking that last minute winner. Yeah.
If anyone was going to do it, it's going to be Danny.
Yeah, it's going to be him against his old club. But I'm going Huddersfield for that one.
Yeah, Cass, I think they look very good on the certain parts of the Wigan game, obviously not the start. But I think with the momentum now, they've got belief. And when you win like that, it's good, isn't it? Everyone feels good, and I just think, I think Castle win.
This is a weird one for me. This is a real tough one because in my experience, Cass have always struggled at Huddersfield. Just a bigger, wider field, you know, and they're not. I think Cass are used to playing in that cauldron tight of energy that you get at Weldon Road at the jungle, you know, where there's a lot of atmosphere, whereas Huddersfield can be really sterile just because the size of the stadium and the amount of supporters in there. So I'm gonna back the local. I'm gonna back our local team in regards to this station, and that's Huddersfield. Yeah. We haven't got Aaron's selection yet, but we'll have it by the end of the night. So I'm back in Huddersfield. So next up, St Helens versus Warrington, biggest game of the season. Ooh. These two, if we take Saints and Warrington out of the Super League, it's actually a really good Super League competition.
Yep.
But these two are just pulling away at the moment.
I'm going Warrington. I think Blake Austin's going to be the difference. Mm. Yeah, I reckon.
Blake Austin has got to be the front runner for Man of Steel at the moment.
He's going to be in.
Isn't that great? One of those players sort of comes along once a season and just sticks your hands up.
Yeah,
he's a freak. I just love watching him. He's good. He just so attacking and just.
It's fun. He kind of looks like he's having fun.
He just goes for it, doesn't he? Just, there's no holding
dummy,
back.
The dummy did against Hull.
And which just one? He did a
battle. The big hole where the whole defensive line slid out. No one came and backed up in the middle of the park.
Sent the other.
And he just hit them.
Yeah. Sent them all to the shop.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrendous.
But so, I'm going to go Saints.
He's just spent the last 5 minutes talking up Blake Austin and Warrington.
He's a very good player. He's man of steel for me. I called it earlier, but Saints to win.
Okay, so I've gone Huddersfield. I'm going to go. This is a tough one. My instinct's saying Warrington. My head's saying Saints. I'm going to go Warrington. Go with your instincts. Ooh. Warrington. Go the Wolves. Come on, the Wolves. Yeah. Do a little bit of a shake it up and get on the equal points, and then we've got a real dog race for the Super League. Okay, next up, Wakey at home to Wigan. Got to rattle through these boys.
I'm going Wakey.
Wigan.
Quickly.
Wakey.
Wakey, just because they're at home, they're in some rhythm.
Yeah, doing some rhythm. I like what Fafita and then by the playing.
So you're not convinced what Wigan's throwing up?
Wigan, because it's Wigan.
So Wakey here.
Wigan.
Wigan, because it's Wigan. I'm going to say Wakefield as well. On there on Friday night. So games from the Cup. Widnes versus York.
Oh, it's tough.
Tough one.
I reckon Widnes, because they had a bad result. Batley beat them, so they want to make up for
it. Yeah, Widnes, but only just York, a good team.
Yeah, I'm going to back Widnes as well because they're at home. Mm. Yeah, but I think they've got the quality in there. Final game, Halifax at home to London. Halifax at home to London.
Love the Broncos.
Halifax have been playing well, so I'm going London.
Broncos, I'll be there cheering them on. Come on, London.
Yeah, okay, so I think I'm going to have to back London. I was thinking, you know what, I'm going to go with Halifax, but no, I've got to go with my head. All right, thank you very much, boys. Cheers for your participation this evening, and thank you for listening wherever you've been tonight. We love you.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.